I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We do want to talk some 49ers right out of the gate because I have a question, a burning question, and I mean this genuinely. I want to know, why would a coach do this? I know where most brains will go right away when you hear it, but I want to know. I'm always fascinated in this because we're in the media. I'm always fascinated because, and maybe this is a little cynical, but when we get to hear stuff publicly in front of a microphone, I don't just take it for what they're saying. I want to know why. And I'll give you an example. So, for instance, when you get a report from Shams that Jonathan Kuminga wants to, I thought I'd get it out of the way early today.
Right.
But anyway, that Jonathan Kuminga would rather play for another team. And then you get a report the next day, well, that the Warriors are breaking off sign and trade talks. It's not just what they're saying. I'm like, why? Why did someone call a reporter so that that will go out to the public? And then maybe that helps shape an opinion or two with regard to sort of like what leverage game is taking place. Are they negotiating in the media or whatever? Juwan Jennings, like what's actually going on here? So don't just listen to what Kyle is saying, but maybe why Kyle is saying it. And so, Grandy, is it both of these? He was on Sirius XM.
The first one is the full cut, and then the second one is just the tail end, so we don't have to listen to it all again just to get his expectations
okay.
Piece.
Let's listen to the whole thing, the whole banana, and then today, at least to start, I am genuinely interested in sort of why you think that Kyle Shanahan is saying this. Take a listen.
When we got here in 17, we knew we had a roster that we really had to completely change over. And, you know, in the first year, you know, we changed 10 out of 11 guys on offense. You know, Joe Staley was the only one who remained. And on defense, we did 8 out of 11. So we had a big turnover, and we did it all with draft picks. You know, you don't hit on every draft pick, but we hit on a lot. And we got some difference makers in there. And that kind of became the core of our group from 19 all the way till now. And we brought in a couple different people with Christian and Trent that we did through trades. But everyone else has kind of been homegrown and through the draft, and fortunately we've been able to keep some of those guys. And that's to me the biggest difference between now and 17 is that some of these guys that have been here are still here, and we got a group of players, you know, whether it's 5, whether it's 7, whatever it is, that are difference makers, some borderline Hall of Fame players too. But when you look at the rest of the roster, that's what reminds me a little bit more of 17 and 18, that we need to add a bunch of youth. We need to get guys who are younger, you know, so obviously we can afford to keep some of these players, also having to pay a quarterback and things like that. So whenever that happens, you do depend on young guys, but when you get young guys, it also makes it a little bit more built to last. And we're kind of in between in those areas, because when you got guys like Christian, guys like Trent, Bosa, Fred, I mean, there's a number of them. It's hard to kind of say that you're rebuilding, because you got guys there who can carry you. But in the NFL, it doesn't matter how good those stars are, you got to have the right type of team. And we know we got some young guys that haven't done it yet, but that's what's so big about this year. It's what's so big about camp, is we're finding out a lot about these guys every day. And it'll be interesting who ends up being a part of our 53, which to me is more open now than it's been in about 6 years. But even on day one, that's not going to be it. Like week one, I expect our team in week 12, week 13 to look a lot different than it did in week one. And my whole goal is that we get better throughout the year and find a way to hopefully get into those playoffs. And once you get into those playoffs, then you got a chance at anything.
Ooh, that last sentence. Oh, that last sentence. My whole goal is that hopefully we get better throughout the season and then hopefully get into those playoffs.
Those playoffs.
Which does not sound like somebody waltzing in being like, we're the dogs in the NFC West, about to win this thing. And coaches don't talk that way anyway. But there is, on some level, right, Dibs, like a managing of expectations?
Absolutely.
With this comment?
Well, especially when you look at the context of 2017 and 2018, and he mentioned it a couple of different times in a couple of different ways, because you know, they did have to change out the roster, and the roster was the worst in football when he took it over, and it took some time. And then, you know, you had to go out there And this team, you go out and you pay your quarterback, and you know that takes its toll a little bit. And I'm remembering back when they paid Jimmy Garoppolo after the 2018 season, and they paid Jimmy Garoppolo at the time. I think that was record-setting money. And then
it was.
They went to the Super Bowl the next year. But after that, it became tough to hold on to everybody. So I think that it's a little bit of a tempering of expectations. And he's probably right to do that. Honestly, if you look at the roster and all the new players and the unproven guys, you can't look at that team and think, you know, 13, 14 wins. They're not going to challenge to be the best team in the NFC right now. Could they be in December and January? Well, you hope so.
Well, here's the thing, because, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the case right now for Kyle Shanahan with this team. I don't think the seat is warm or anything like that. But this in general is the exact spot that a coach does not want to be. In general, here's what I mean by that. You do not want to be the coach of a team that the world expects a lot of, but you...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Who don't? That's not where you want to be. That's the firing range. Normally. I don't think that this is a little bit of a different scenario because Kyle's got some cachet and some history and all of those things. I think some belief from the organization. But in a normal setting, if you're coaching a team and behind the scenes, it's kind of like, oof, I don't really like the way this is stacking up. But out in Vegas, everyone's like, I'm betting my $1,000 on that team to win it all. And the Niners are, right now, fifth or sixth favorite to win the Super Bowl. Yet their coach is over here going, yeah, I don't even know really who's going to be on the roster. And whoever's on the roster for week one, half of them probably won't be on the roster week 12 because we're in total transition. But Vegas is like, favorites, love them. That's a bad spot. And so I wonder if this is step one, especially with all the injuries, of Kyle, and I think this would be smart for a lot of the 49ers, to start subtly. You have to be subtle with it because you don't want to go over the top and you're not trying to inspire a lack of confidence with your guys. But it might be smart to start saying things like this to downplay it a little bit. One of my wife's favorite sayings, and this goes for business of any kind. It goes for relationships. It goes for anything. Whenever you can, under-promise and over-deliver. And I wonder if that's what the 49ers are shooting for. I'm not saying they can't win. He's not saying they can't win. But you're going to start over the next 3 weeks. Keep getting these subtle reminders. We're young. We're new. We got a lot of things going on right now. So relying on this to be great right out of the gate is probably a fool's errand.
And it's honestly the way you should look at it, coming off of a year where you go 6-11 and you change out that many pieces. And if you look at their depth chart, especially on defense, a lot of first year, second year, and third year players. So yeah, the expectation in the gambling market is 10 or 11 wins, but if he comes out and goes 7-10 this year, he can at least look back at this and say, well, I was kind of trying to tell you guys that this might be the year we were looking at.
All right, 888-957-9570. Do you take Kyle at face value? Or do you think he's just trying to temper too many expectations?